Morning to everyone. It's my privilege again to open up God's Word. See what it has to say to us this morning. I'm going to endeavor as carefully as I can to deal as delicately as I can with the subject matter. Oh, thank you. Thank you. Considering those who might be in the audience and the nature of it, at least part of this. But if you will, please turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 4. While you're turning there, let's look to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you and praise you for your word. We thank you for what it has to say, and it doesn't beat around the bush. It says it plainly. And Lord, we thank you for the directness of Scripture when it needs to instruct, the comfort of Scripture when we are discouraged, and Lord, we just pray that we would seek to be men and women fully equipped for the edification of one another. Lord, as you've given me this opportunity, Lord, I pray that I would not be seen, I would not be heard, but you alone, Lord, for your words that you have to say today. We ask all this now in Christ's worthy and precious name. Amen. Last time I got to speak, we looked over the first three chapters of Thessalonians. Today we will only be looking at the first 12 verses of chapter 4 of 1 Thessalonians. And then the first portion of it has to deal with a plea for purity, as the subtitle on this chapter in my Bible calls it. And as we get into it, you will see why I'm going to endeavor to be as delicate and as cautious with my words and just not wanting to be offensive in any way. But yet, studying it, looking at it, just wanted to make sure this was gone over. Did bring some props, but we can just ignore those for the time being. As somebody once said, never mind that man behind the curtain. So anyhow, let's get into it. Let's get into first eight verses of chapter 4. It says, finally then, brethren, we urge you and exhort in the Lord Jesus that you should abound more and more, just as you received from us how you ought to walk and to please God. For you know what commandments we gave you through the Lord Jesus. For this is the will of God, your sanctification, that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, in passion of lust, like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage and defraud his brother in this matter, because the Lord is avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. For God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject man, but God, who has also given us his Holy Spirit. Now, one of the things I mentioned last time I spoke was the city of Thessaloniki, or Thessalonica, however you want to pronounce it, as it's pronounced today, Thessaloniki, or at least that's how it's spelled and how I would say it in English. I don't know how they would say it in Greek, because I don't speak Greek. I had many Greek friends, but I never asked them how they say it. Anyhow, in that, it was mentioned it was a very cosmopolitan town. It had a highway that came through that connected, that was on a major trade route, and great deal amount of people there. And they also had another thing. They had a temple there and temple prostitutes, just as they did in Corinth, which Paul deals with that in 1 Corinthians chapter 6, which we will go to a little later. And it was part of their practice, their religious practice, to incorporate that. And I'm not going to go into any more detail into that part. I remember once I was, as a child, I was fascinated with geography and history, and I used to study them all the time. And one of my favorite characters from history was Alexander the Great. And so I started out by reading about his father, Philip the Macedon. And you can't go very far into that and to see how depraved the character of how he was and carried on with his son as well. But nonetheless, the method of modern warfare at that time that Alexander the Great used was very fast warfare, much as the Germans, the Third Reich did with the Blitzkrieg, being on top of your enemy before they knew what to do with it. That said, very much in that culture was this we'll call it a forbidden lifestyle, so to speak, in that. And so here Paul is encouraging these young believers in the faith to abstain from these things that are going on around them for their sanctification, their separation from the rest of the world. Now, we love justification. We love to be justified. We love to be forgiven. We love to have all those sins. As Hebrews says, Colossians says, the handwriting of requirements that were against us that Christ removed. We love that. The sanctification, though, is a little more effort. That takes more work. That takes more diligence in our life. Begins with reading God's word, study, not just reading it, but studying it, to know it, to really understand it, and to apply it to our lives, to be in communication with the Lord. I've always known prayer is important. Don't misunderstand what I'm about to say. In the last few years, it has just bloomed in my mind just the absolute dire necessity of prayer. And how it is just as important as reading God's word and be in communication with the Lord and to talk with him and to take these burdens. Not that the Lord doesn't know. He doesn't need us to come to him and say, Lord, this is really pressing on my heart. He knows. But it's for the reason that his son died that we could have a relationship with him. He opened the door. We could never come to a holy God and expect to have some kind of conversation in our sinful state. But yet, because of what Christ has done for us, because he has brought us into a new and living relationship that we can enjoy the fullness of it. It says here in the third verse, for this is the will of God, your sanctification. Now, I just want to stop there. It is the will of God. I remember when I first got saved, and it was just, you know, that the I don't know what it was like for you, but one question that kept going around with a lot of younger saints that I knew was, what's the will of God for my life? Well, it's right here. He doesn't care what you do for a living, unless he's called you specifically to go into the ministry as a missionary. Of course, we're all called, but we're not all called to a certain place. I remember when Karen and I flew over to New Zealand to get married and really getting for the first time to sit down, because we had, I don't know, what, a week or two before we got married when we got down there, I think it was. And I just remember sitting at the SIL, apartments. We were with mom and dad for a while and just almost grilling them. How did you know the Lord was calling you to the mission field? And just trying to figure out, how do you know? Because I remember I went running upstairs from the basement. I said, Dad, am I supposed to go to Africa? He's like, well, just calm down. Hold on. He'll let you know. But anyhow, but we're all called to serve and to live for him. Some in a more specific vineyard, so to speak. He says, but this is the will of God, your sanctification. He wants us to live separately from the world. Come out and be ye separate is the desire of the Lord for each of us. Not to live, as it says later, as the Gentiles, but to be separate. Because if we're just like everybody else, what difference is it going to make? Who is going to come to us and want to know what's different if we're just like everybody else? There's one portion in scripture, it says, in Proverbs, it says, I'm going to butcher this, but it talks about a man who's just like the rest of the world. This is going to be the Pete paraphrase because I didn't plan on looking it up. It says, it's like a polluted spring. A man who doesn't control himself. It's like a polluted spring. Who wants to take a draft, as the English would say in old English language, of a polluted spring? Who wants to refresh themselves from muddy water? No one. So we are to be appealing. Our lives are to show forth the Lord Jesus Christ so that others will want to know what makes us different. And it says that you should abstain from sexual immorality, that each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor. Now, pardon me as I take a draft from the vessel. Now, that term vessel, just wanted to look at it a little bit here and look at a couple other portions. Let's turn backwards to keep your place in 1 Thessalonians, but turn back to Proverbs, please. Specifically to Proverbs chapter 5, verse 15. It says, drink water from your own cistern and running water from your own well. Should your fountains be dispersed abroad, streams of water in the streets? Let them be only for your own and not for strangers with you. Let your fountain be blessed and rejoice with the wife of your youth. We'll stop there for the sake of younger years. But, I'm going to lose this for 1 second. Just in case. But I asked Dave if he would be a volunteer. Just, brother, can you tell everybody what's in here?
Water.
Very good. Okay. All right. Who's thirsty? Who wants a nice big splash of water? Anybody?
Ryan.
No. Ryan. Okay. Now, why don't you want? Why is anybody thirsty? I mean, I know I was thirsty. Of course, I've been doing the most talking, but I mean, come on. This is like a, and we don't want to have anybody melt either. That's my second Wizard of Oz reference there. Maybe we might get one more. But Aaron, you had 4 boys in your house. Did you ever have water balloon fights?
When they were younger.
Yeah. Now, I won't ask Heather, but I'll probably be able to tell by a smile. Would you have appreciated it, dear, if they'd come in the house with those water balloons, chucking them at each other? No, because it's an appropriate place. It's a vessel, but it's not an appropriate place. There's only one appropriate place that the Lord sanctifies such behavior, and it is in the confines of a marriage between a husband and a wife, and is not to be done before. We won't go into my brother's favorite passage about that, about not arousing love before its time. But there's another portion that Scripture compares sex to, and that's also in Proverbs, just the very next chapter, Proverbs chapter 6. And it says in verse 30, it says, let's go back up to, let's go to 23. For the commandment is a lamp and a law, a light. Reproofs of instruction are the ways of life, to keep you from the evil woman, from the flattering tongue of a seductress, not to go after her beauty in your heart, nor let her allure you with her eyelids. For by the means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. I just want to stop there, and I want to look here, because I want men to really take this in. Because men, I think, probably have this issue more than women do. Because we're told in Matthew chapter 5, I believe it is, to any man who looks at a woman with lust in his heart is guilty of adultery. And also it says here, how many believers, born again men, have fallen to this sin? And how dangerous it is to not even mess around with it. And in the very next chapter, in chapter 7, in verse 14, you have this woman who's described trying to allure this young man. Says, I have peace offerings with me. Today I have paid my vows. And here she is trying to seem religious. She's trying to be a good girl and appeal to him in that way. Look, we stay away from this stuff. We don't even play around with it. How many of you, speaking of plumbing, you know, we again, the part about water is we like it because, you know, get a shower, get cleaned up, all that stuff. We'd like to turn on the faucet and there is water there. But we don't want it going all over the house. Otherwise, you got to call a plumber. And speaking of a plumber, how about a little fire scare? Anybody want some fire? I didn't want to be the black sheep of the group. Sorry. Oh, I forgot to offer. Did anybody want to play with this? Anybody want to play with the torch before I put it away? Just so you know, map gas burns at 3,700 degrees Fahrenheit. So did anybody want to, you know, run your fingers across the flame? You know, like you might do with a candle or something if you're a pyro or something like that. 3,700 degrees, just think about that. You don't want to run your fingers across that. That'll send your fingers. Your fingers will look way worse than mine, which are, by the way, much better. I brought those to get the point across. I love props because they help drive the point home. Okay. Same way you're told as a kid, don't play with fire. Okay. Don't be like me when I was a kid, went down to the basement, saw the old furnace that had more ducts coming out of it. Oh boy, I could feel it's hot. How hot is it? Yeah, duh. One blister later, I found out how hot it was. Where it says, but by the means of a harlot, a man is reduced to a crust of bread. Is that what you want your life to be at the end? Just a crust of bread? Can a man take fire to his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Can one walk on hot coals and his feet not be seared? So is he who goes into his neighbor's wife. Whoever touches her shall not be innocent. That each of you should know how to possess his own vessel in sanctification and honor, not in the passion of lust like the Gentiles who do not know God, that no one should take advantage of and defraud his brother in this matter. Because the Lord is the avenger of all such, as we also forewarned you and testified. God did not call us to uncleanness, but to holiness. Therefore, he who rejects this does not reject God, or does not reject man, but God, who has given us his Holy Spirit. Now, the word sanctification, we already said, means set apart, holy, special. Ladies who have fine china, do you want next picnic to come around? Do you want your fine china passed around and just used for, you know, picnic, take it outside, let everybody, you know, who's seen The Hobbit? Has anybody here seen The Hobbit? Okay, when they start washing the dishes, that's what Bilbo Baggins hates or whatever, they're throwing around and he's freaking out because all the dishes are being thrown around the house. It's like, that's my mother's stuff and, you know, don't mess it up and don't, yeah. We have that very precious porcelain plates that are special that have patterns on them. I mean, I don't I appreciate what it's for. I do. It doesn't appeal to me at all. As long as it holds the food, that's really all I care. But it is that same special way. I can tell you this. I don't get to wash those dishes. There's only one person who gets to wash this because they're special. Because the lady to whom they belong to in my house does not want anything to happen to them. Okay, the same way God has set a man and a woman apart to come together as one flesh. As one flesh and not as any other way. Please, let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 6 to look into this a little more. Then we're going to go on to the next part. This is what really clears it up. Do you not, in verse 15, it says, do you not know that your bodies are members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them the members of a harlot? Certainly not. Do you not know that he who is joined to a harlot is one body with her? For the two, he says, shall become one flesh. But he who is joined to the Lord is one spirit with him. Flee sexual immorality. You know, we know about Joseph and how he ran. He didn't even wait. You know, he didn't even molt. As I read that, I'm like, you know, Potiphar was a pretty powerful guy, you know, back in the day. And as most powerful guys, probably had a very attractive wife, you know, as we would use the term, a trophy wife. And here she is trying to hit on him. I don't think he ran because he didn't find her attractive. I think he ran because he knew he could fall just as any man can fall into that sin. But because his mind was set on serving the Lord and honoring him, he ran. So you and I, when faced with this temptation, must run. Doesn't say coddle it. Don't run your hand across the flame to see, well, maybe I can get away with it this time. Maybe it won't hurt this time. No, flee. Run. Every sin that a man does is outside the body, but he who commits sexual immorality sins against his own body. Or do you not know that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit who is in you, whom you have from God, and you are not your own? For you were bought with a price, therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. Enough for there. Please turn back to 1 Thessalonians chapter 4. Brotherly love. Again, I'd ask Aaron how brotherly love looks like in his house, but I remember from when I grew up, I had a little brother. In fact, I was the oldest of four, not four boys, but two girls and one other brother. And you wouldn't want my brotherly love back in the day because I ruled that house with an iron fist when mom and dad weren't there. And believe me, I had 7 years on the next child, 9 after that, and then 10 and a half on my little brother. And oh yeah, I used it. That doesn't happen at your house, does it? Sorry, I don't mean to. But that's not how we are to act. Okay, I can only imagine as a parent when I would hear my children squabbling. They never squabble, right? How much it disappointed me. And I remember one time getting up and saying one thing that I heard from a general in the Union Army when he found two of his troops fighting. He said, the enemy is over there. The enemy's over there. In here, this is safe. We love one another here. Doesn't mean that sometimes don't need to take care of some things in-house, but it means this should be a place of safety. This should be a place of love for one another. It says, but concerning brotherly love, you have no need that I should write to you, for you yourselves are taught by God to love one another. and indeed to do so toward all the brethren who are in all Macedonia. But we urge you, brethren, that you increase more and more, that you also aspire to lead a quiet life, to mind your own business, and to work with your own hands, as we commanded you, that you may walk properly toward those who are outside, and that you may lack nothing. Paul reminded them that it's very important to love one another. One of the great characteristics that will draw people to us, to Christ, not to us, but to Christ, is if they see that we love one another, that we care for one another, that we are a family. Now, I'm not unaware that sometimes families have strife in it, but that ought not be the case. That all our differences should be dealt with one-on-one, and they should not be dragged out into the public and into the open. It says, but we urge you, therefore, brethren, that you increase more and more. This is the great thing about the Thessalonian church, is their reputation was such that they were a very loving church, a very loving body, and people knew about it. And he doesn't say, stop. He doesn't say, well, you're doing good enough. He says, no, more and more. Keep doing it more and more. That you may, and then he says, that you may aspire to lead a quiet life. We don't need the attention brought to us. We don't need the limelight. We don't need to be the center of attention. Lead a quiet life. That's what the Lord is pleased with, is a quiet spirit. To mind your own business. Now, we don't need to be busybodies, getting in everybody's business, checking things out. Just to mind your own business and to work with your hands. Doesn't mean necessarily have to be physical labor, but to work hard at whatever it is you do. Whatever you find yourself doing, work is unto the Lord, and to make sure that he's glorified by what you do. So it should never be that if people know we're believers, that we don't work hard. That is, I have heard it said of others, and I'm not going to go into it, but it's just very hard to hear people disparage Christians because of their lack of a work ethic. As we commanded you, that you should walk properly toward those who are outside, that you may lack nothing. Now we know that we are to witness to those who are outside these walls, to those who are unsaved, those outside of the family of God. And we are to love them. Not saying that what they're doing, that their lifestyles are okay. No, we want to show forth to them the difference that Christ has made in our lives to bring them to Christ. That you may lack nothing. You know, I just think of how empty lives can be if we live it for ourselves and not for Christ. If what we do in our lives, if we don't have any fruit, I'm not talking about the physical work that I was talking about before, but the working to save others, the working to seek out the lost, and to see them follow Christ, to bring them to the Lord. We don't want to be barren in that way either. Really don't have much else to share today, to be honest with you. Very short passage, just 12 verses. Preferably next time will be a little longer because there's more. I'll be honest, I was telling Karen, I said, I really didn't want to take this passage on last night when I was talking with her. I want to move on to other things. But nonetheless, I still think it's a very important thing to understand and to follow, to be worried about our sanctification, to continually work at it. And the scary part to me through all this is it never stops. And just having, remember Brother Arnett, as we all do, he would always say, what? Go for the gold. I mean, yeah, I guess bronze would be okay in some ways, but not as good as gold. Not as good as gold. We if you shoot for the bronze, you're probably going to get in last place. So go for the gold, as he said. Father, we thank you and we praise you for your word. Simple truths, things we probably already know. Lord, I don't claim to be a great teacher, Lord, but this is the portion in front of us today. Lord, we thank you. Father, pray that we would take it to heed, that we would know how to handle our own vessel, that we would live sanctified lives, separate from the world, not falling into the same temptations, not falling into the same patterns as the world, but Lord, that we would show forth and showcase Christ in our lives. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen.